the Day Zero update for April 1st, 2018. I'm Filippo D'Alfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Chris Elogi.
And since it is April 1st, we promise that we won't do anything funny, ironic, or otherwise misleading. Because we're sick of that shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're not going to do any of that. Although
I did something naughty this morning, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a bit later. I was going to do a prank at the beginning of the show, but thought better of it because I'm not an idiot. It's April 1st. And as such, we have cobbled together stories that we actually think are legitimate, mostly relating to publication dates that are prior to April 1st. So, so we'll go with that for today.
Yeah, we're basically ignoring all the news that came out today, pretty much.
I got one in my inbox a little earlier from Bloodstained, which was interesting. I'll just say that. No. Just no. That's all I'm going to say. Today we are kind of in an interesting situation, Pat and I, because we're kind of hosting and being guests at the same time. You will probably want to explain that, Pat.
This is the final week of site development before the official launch of World Warriors. And so, being that I didn't actually make it to NCR to plug the site the way I wanted to, and, you know, there's still quite a bit to talk about regarding the site, we're both here to host the show and to really give out full disclosure and plug World Warriors simultaneously, because a lot of work has gone into this launch, and we're super proud of it.
Yeah. One of the disclosures we should make is that World Warriors isn't actually affiliated with Smashpad. It's off on its own thing. When we speak in that capacity, we're not speaking for Smashpad. We're speaking for World Warriors.
Yes.
Hopefully that shouldn't really be a problem, because it doesn't really intersect too much, unless we start doing a podcast, in which case that would kind of be a problem. Well, wouldn't be a problem, it'd just be more work. So we're looking forward to that, and now I'm going through the site, and looking at all the stuff that I have to fix. Lots of fun. So,
and I'm just looking through various text files, looking at all the things I have to add. But it's fun.
We're hoping for, Thursday, it's going to officially launch.
It's open to be used right now, but we do have some content rolling out on Thursday that should establish it more as a fully functioning outlet.
Yeah. Keep your eyes peeled for that. But in the meantime, we have been playing some stuff, because that's what we do. So for me, it's still been Titan Quest. I really like this game. I don't know what it is, but I will say one thing. Holy crap, some of these encounters are unbalanced. Yeah, it's like you'll run into, a squad of monsters that are way higher level than you are. And they're just, they're not even epic bosses or anything. They're just, just random mobs.
And they will stomp your head into the ground.
Yeah, it seems like...
It's Final Fantasy II.
Sort of. The problem is, on the PC version with the Ragnarok expansion pack, they actually addressed a lot of that, and because the PS4 and Xbox One versions don't have this expansion, you're back to kind of vanilla Titan Quest Anniversary, which is better than the original Titan Quest was in terms of balance, but still kind of a little on the weird side. So, it's good. I still love the setting. Anytime you can meet up with General Leonidas is always a good time. So, Yeah, it's good. If you're looking for an action RPG on the PS4 or Xbox One, yeah, you could do worse than Titan Quest. So
yeah, just don't wander into the wrong neighborhood.
Yeah. Otherwise, yeah, you kind of wish you hadn't. The only thing that is kind of saves it, though, is that when you do die in cases like this, your progress doesn't go away. So, yeah, you can, like, go back and keep whittling away at them. This works for, you know, just regular mobs and all that stuff, but not for bosses, obviously. So, yeah, it's fine. So, check it out. So how about you, Pat?
I've just been playing the Site Crunch game. I think I maybe picked up a Fight Stick twice in the last week to play some Super Turbo. But other than that, it's just been all site development, getting a few features ready and doing some planning and just gathering up content. So I look forward to actually being able to play video games again, but that that time is still at least a week out.
Yeah.
Maybe more.
Playing video games and being able to write about them again. Yes. That'll be nice to get back to.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, so I guess that means, how about you, Brandon?
Well, Zelda, primarily. I've now got all the Divine Beasts are under my control. I've got the Master Sword. I've gotten all the memories, including the last one. Yep. And, yeah, I'm just about ready to go and fight Ganon.
Yeah.
No, I think you are ready. You just don't feel ready.
Yeah, that's true.
Normal.
Yeah. And then after you beat Ganon, well, then there's all the DLC that you can take on, so.
Yeah. Yep. But, so yeah, I've been playing that. Other than that, I started the Octopath demo last night. And, nice. Yeah, made me twice as excited for that game to come out. Because that was insanely well written.
Yeah.
I think it was handled by the Final Fantasy XIV localization staff.
Yeah.
It has a lot of the same... a lot of the same styling to it.
Mm-hmm. But especially the voice acting. The voice acting was amazing. I did Primrose's part. I need to do what the other guy's name is. But of course, the thing is about being a demo, you know, it's... Once you've finished the first part of the main storyline for your character, it's then basically free roaming up to a point where it just kind of says, okay, that's about as far as you can go for this demo.
Yeah.
Which sucks because I want to keep going. But, yeah, so that's what I've been playing. What about you, Chris?
So, I checked out Wipeout VR since that update released this week. It did not go well because apparently I found out the hard way that there's a nasty bug. Where if you have super sampling on, it does not start. That seems like a bad thing. Bug to have.
Yeah, that seems like a problem.
Yeah, so it's like, well, I guess I'll never turn this feature on again. At least until that's officially fixed. So it loads up and never makes the switch from the sort of 2D projection screen to the actual VR view. And so you're just sitting there at that like initial loading page or image. And it's like, is it going anywhere? It's just one of those games that takes a while to load. No. I quit out and close the game, and like, boom, there's the crash screen. It's like, yeah, that's not great. So I'm like, well, I look up the error code, which is just a generic one saying, hey, maybe you should try and update your game. Check that you got the updates, system updates, all that. And so I'm like, Huh. So I delete it. Then I look on the internet, and it's like, oh, just turn off super sampling. Like, well, that would have been nice to know, like, 10 minutes ago. So I ended up re-downloading it. Still have a little bit more to go, but I got enough so that I could actually start it. And played two races with it. I did just a normal speed lap and zone. And it works pretty well. So far, no major issues, though they do a good job of warning you on some of the different options that it has. Like, hey, this is going to give you the most bare bones protection, so don't do this. So one for the view itself, whether you tie it to the cockpit, to the vehicle, or to the track. And you definitely don't want to tie it to the... Wait, there's pilot. Pilot is the last one. That means like the vehicle itself will roll and such as you turn and all that.
Oh.
Which is not what you want to do. They make sure to warn you of that. I think by default it's tied to cockpit. So you just have like the... You see the vehicle turning and whatever track stuff happens, but that's about it. I turned up the option for this sort of like visor you can have come up on the sides, sort of squish the full view from being visible, which is also good. Limit the amount of information that's going to your head and fucking you up. So that's good. And I forget what the other ones are. Well, there's one for FOV, so you don't need that if you have the other one.
Hmm.
If you're limiting your field of view, you don't need the field of view on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I did that. Had the about as well protected as it could be, and yeah, it worked pretty well. No real issues, though. It's just two races, so I'll be doing a video later today for that. But yeah, having... You know, three Wipeout games worth of content to play in VR. It's all the normal races and all that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a lot of stuff and a lot of good VR stuff. It looks really nice.
So they have basically settings for, well, the level of, not immersion, but motion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So essentially...
All the way from mild motion to almost guaranteed projectile vomiting.
Uh-huh. Yeah, like, you know, don't do this unless you are, your mind is made of steel.
Yeah.
And not jelly.
Hmm.
But yeah, seems like it's got pretty good options as I don't think Trackmania had much of anything.
Yeah. It was kind of VR, and that's it.
That and it, they have just one camera option. They have, Wipeout VR has a few, you know, in the cockpit as well as stuff outside of it.
Mm-hmm.
I've not tried that stuff yet, but Trackmania, you're instantly outside of the cockpit, and you have like a central view that the car can move independently of, which I think is actually a nice touch because you're not tied to the car moving around.
Yeah.
Which is a thing that can also cause issues. Though the problem is when it becomes Trackmania and it goes into first person view in the front of the car.
Yeah.
That's where when I play it, I have to be like, you only look forward on this mode. You do not look around.
Mm-hmm.
Or else there will be issues. Yeah. Mm. And Drive Club, that did not go well.
Yeah, that one made you sick almost instantly.
Yeah. It was like three races and I was out. And that's all on video, so people can check that out. Yeah, I've not jumped back into it, really. But I would like to check it out, just see if playing other VR stuff has made it a little bit better or not.
Hmm. I wonder if what Project Cars VR mode is like.
I don't know. They haven't done any of that on PSVR. Hmm. It's been PC stuff only, which is disappointing.
Yeah.
From what I saw for at least the original game, it basically only rendered the cockpit part of the car. It's like everything you saw forward facing and maybe to the sides.
Yeah.
It's not like back of the car.
Mm.
Which obviously breaks if you like get up out of your chair and look around. It's like, well, okay, I see how they did this.
Mm.
I think Dirt Rally was the same way.
Yeah.
Where they kind of didn't render anything behind you all that much. So, yeah. Racing games get better in VR.
Yeah.
Especially for ones that you might want to be in the cockpit for.
Yeah.
But yeah. I also been playing more MLB The Show 18. Playing some more online. I think I got a guy to quit on me. I played the ranked seasons mode, which is kind of it's the main multiplayer mode. Seasons would be like typical multiplayer seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So like they'll have certain rule sets and such, rewards tied to that stuff, and as you play more, you get to rank up if you do well. And by the end, you get, you know, certain rewards given back to you. I played one game, got 5 innings, I got the go-ahead run, and then mysteriously, I've lost connection to my opponent.
Mm.
Gave me the win, gave me all the stats and all that, so that was all good. That was one of the last tasks I needed to do, was to play a ranked seasons game for the program for launch day, or for March, essentially, the opening day stuff.
So let me get this straight. You were playing a game online.
Yeah.
You got out ahead of your opponent and they rage quit.
Yep.
Yeah. And you got the W.
Yeah. Yeah,
fighting games have been online since 2002, 2003, and they still haven't figured that out.
Yeah, somehow the sports gaming audience likes to rage quit. Their devs have figured out pretty good solutions for that stuff.
And so, it's a simple solution.
Yeah, it's like...
disqualify the disconnecting party.
Yeah, this person... quit. It wasn't a server issue, so give it to the person that did not quit.
15 years.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. There's whole reasons why I don't play Madden Online anymore, because every time I go down 7-0 and somehow they would quit. It's like, what? That doesn't even make any sense. Yeah. I assume like the audiences are probably very similar in trying to game the systems as much as they can.
Mm.
Figure out, you know, potential ways of, if this thing isn't going my way, ways to quit out without getting penalized or anything like that. I think even Rocket League has solutions for that stuff as well. So if you rage quit, they prevent you from jumping back into matchmaking for like 15 minutes, something like that.
Like fighting game developers, get it together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like sports people have been doing this for 15 years. Like
fucking hell.
Yeah. But still working on things with that. Trying to set up a good franchise mode save. They give you an option to start at the beginning of spring training or jump into the season. I've been trying to jump into the season and it's messing with the rosters. So I get certain players. I'm just trying to get to be like the actual rosters that my Cleveland team has, and they keep bumping people up and down.
Mm.
It's like, just leave it the way I have it set. It's all you gotta do. We're not playing, or it seems like it's not supposed to be playing spring league games, but it's doing it because it's messing with my rosters and annoying me. But yeah. Still so far so good. Yeah, there's one weird thing with the Road to the Show. When you do like the initial like prospect game, sort of, where just takes a look at your skills and sort of sizes you up as far as where you should get drafted.
Mm-hmm.
They have you pick a region and the map. Clearly, the map has the land below Lake Erie in the eastern section, but if you go to select your home state as Ohio, it's in the central section. It's like, it's not how maps work. You have the land of Ohio in the east, and that's not an option there. It's like, you got to pay attention to your own damn maps.
Yeah.
That annoys me. I think I've taken pictures of that before, but yeah, the maps have not changed for, I don't know when Alaska and Hawaii were added, but that was like probably 50, 60 years ago at least. That was quite a while ago. Maps haven't changed. Mm. Ohio's where it's always been. That's, fix it. Put us in the east. But yeah, that's been good. I'm probably also going to have a video of that done tonight, so that all should be up tomorrow. Also been playing Burnout Paradise on Xbox One and enjoying it a lot. Had some weird server issues this morning where it just forgets what the road time times are. Mm. So every time I try to do one, it's acting like I'm the only person that's ever done it. It's like, all right, set a time. It's like, wait, what? Where's the leaderboard time for this? That's kind of annoying because that's like the whole point of that is you want to beat the time that somebody else set or whatever the defaults are, and it decided not to pull them up. I don't know if Xbox Live was having some issues this morning or what.
Mm.
But yeah, like the achievement leaderboard wasn't working either. I had an achievement worth 10 points and everybody had 0.
Huh.
And it's like, that seems like there's some issue here.
Yeah. That achievement will probably show up randomly while you're watching Netflix.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It shows up. I can see it on Windows.
Yeah, it'll show up on Windows, but it'll just appear on your Xbox at some point.
I think it also appeared there as well. It's just the leaderboard is not acknowledging it. Like I was playing a backwards compatible game.
Oh.
That's a weird thing, but...
Yeah, probably server issues.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, but... Especially for a game where you're trying to do the online thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, that game's real good. I've been playing a little bit with the Big Surf Island, which is definitely kind of a crazy place. Lots of jumps, lots of big jumps. And that definitely changes how you look around for ways to get the billboards. Like, there's a billboard. I got to go find jumps right around there. And I also have to get plenty of room. So you're not... You have to get big jumps.
Yeah.
You can't just, like, barely hit them. Because you're going to just hit the front of the ramp on the other side and just fall off.
Yeah.
That happens a lot. But, yeah, that's been real good. And I think that's largely about it.
All right. So let's... get into our quick takes for the week, and we'll start with, because it's the beginning of April, we've got our PlayStation Plus and Games with Gold games to talk about.
Yeah, so PlayStation Plus for PS4, it's Mad Max, which is a good game.
Yeah.
The only bad part is it's all brown, because that's the Australian desert of that future.
Yep.
But otherwise, you can be Mad Max and fight dudes, and if you do well enough, you go into like a rage mode and then just start clotheslining them and doing wrestling moves and shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of weird and crazy, but it's pretty cool. The other one is Trackmania Turbo, which is a really good racing game.
Yeah.
And also has VR support, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that should be good for the multiplayer community. Let's see... PS3, there's In Space We Brawl, which is also cross-buy with the PS4, so there's another PS4 game. Let me see what that is. That is, I think, a four-player game.
Yeah. Like
a four-player local multiplayer game. Okay, so that's one of those. Toy Home for the PS3. That is only on PS3. That is like a little, I guess, like Hot Wheels kind of racing game. I think I've heard good things about that. But that is also a game that came out like 8 or 9 years ago.
Yeah.
That's a pretty early game that Sony published. So much so, there's no developer listed on this thing. So I don't know what team that is. Let's see, for Vita is 99 Vidas, V-I-D-A-S. It is also cross-buy with the PS4 and PS3, so some extra stuff there. That looks like a brawler. And looks like also four-player co-op. So some nice game there. And Qbert Rebooted for the Vita, which is also cross-buy with PS3 and PS4. That is Qbert. That's the most recent like remake of the original, which was published by Loot Interactive, made PlayStation Home stuff. I think also was tied at one point to Sony Music Entertainment.
Yeah.
Because it's also got like Pixels promotion.
Yeah.
To it, there's like a bundle where you could get like a Pixels theme with this game, which is weird.
Yeah.
And also released on Xbox One and a couple other platforms, I think. Yeah, that's a weird thing. A weird property to bring back. As a guy who kind of weirdly cursed all the time in a made-up language.
Yeah,
I saw that actually Sony Music Entertainment is getting into publishing games, which are not necessarily exclusive to Sony platforms. Since those are separate entities, they decided, hey, we're just going to publish games.
No, they did. They did before at one time.
Yeah, so. They just have like a new initiative.
Yeah,
that's this month's games. I don't think there's any other bonuses. For games with gold, let's see. Starting today on April 1st, you can get The Witness, which is a really good game. Mm-hmm. Anybody that has not played that, that is a really good puzzle game.
Yeah.
Kind of missed style, but not in a lot of ways. One style of solving puzzles, but the way it presents those puzzles and how you figure out the solutions is has a pretty crazy amount of variety.
Yeah.
That. It's also one of those games that actually kind of lasts, too, because there's a ton of puzzles in there, and
you can
some
beat
of them require
without,
you to look.
Yeah. There's a whole set of puzzles that once you figure out how you even do them, that should blow your mind, that realization. But yeah, that's a game that you don't even have to beat all of it to beat the game. So yeah, you can beat it and be like, wait, there's more? Holy crap. The other Xbox One game that will be available on April 16th is Assassin's Creed Syndicate, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
The last Assassin's Creed game before they rebooted the whole thing. And for Xbox 360 games, available right now is Cars 2, which I think continues their trend they've been doing of putting up achievement-friendly games. Again, another Disney game, Disney Pixar game as well.
And I've heard it's terrible. I played it.
I've heard it's okay. Yeah. The other one available on April 16th is Dead Space 2.
There's a classic.
Yeah. I think I already have that through EA Access, so
yeah,
that's a little bit weird. But I've heard good things.
Yeah.
I assume the multiplayer actually might not be up.
Yeah, I don't think it... Well, no, it might not be. So,
Yeah. Let's see, Dead Space 2 multiplayer.
So four decent games on the Xbox One and a few decent games on PS4. Not a bad month overall for free games. We got the Twitch Prime game is going to be coming out in a couple of days. Well, Friday is when they roll over.
Yeah.
So we'll see what they have there.
Mm-hmm.
Last month wasn't too bad. Well, Kingsway just went up as free for Twitch Prime, so you can
play
that if you want it. So yeah, that's what we got. Another quick note, Doom for the PS4 and Xbox One just got 4K patches. So yeah, that game's
another huge update, I assume.
Bigger. It's already like 76 gigs on the PS4. Now it's going to be closer to 120. So Oy, there's a game you'll probably want to play with super sampling on, because, yeah.
Mm.
So you can do that. Not a whole lot of other details to report on that one. I tried to download it and didn't have enough space on my PS4, so I have to free up some space before I can get it. So, yeah, I'm expecting to give that a shot later on tonight, if possible. And play me some Doom, which is great, and you should play it, because it's awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, all of the multiplayer stuff is now free, so, yeah, you don't have to worry about that anymore.
Mm.
So, yeah, Doom, check that out. Next up, we got the Sonic Mania Adventures animated shorts. First part just went up, and it's kind of charming.
Yeah.
It's the great part about it is Sonic's voice actor.
Mm-hmm.
Who is non-existent.
So, yeah.
Yeah. This is completely different to what I was expecting them to do,
mm-hmm.
and I like it.
Yeah. So they might actually know how to do this still.
Yeah, yeah. Just give that a shot. It's all. It's got that weird. I don't know. I don't know if they're going for a 50s type animated style or something, but there's something very charming about it. And yeah, check it out. It's there on YouTube, and you can get, you know, if you want to buy t-shirts and stuff, you can do that from Sega. So, and who wouldn't want to? So there's that. Then we have the announcement of Dragon Quest XI.
Yep.
Mm.
It's finally making its way over here. No 3DS version planned?
No, which is unusual.
That might be a sign of things to come.
Yeah.
For the 3DS.
September 4th will be when that comes over here. Perhaps, yeah, maybe no 3DS support, but maybe that means a Switch version?
Yeah, I think Switch has been confirmed. It's just going to be a while.
Yeah.
So they announced alongside the game that there's also going to be a bunch of upgrades and enhancements for this version. So it's going to have English voiceover,
mm-hmm.
which is good. I think we liked the one that was in 8. They haven't really done anything like that since.
Yeah.
They added the Draconian Quest. It's a hard mode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For people that want that. They overhauled all the menus and UI. So that it looks more modern, I guess. Because I think the original was very much reminiscent of the old Japanese games.
Yeah, it was. And it also didn't look very good because they weren't scaled properly.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, so they overhauled all that stuff. They added a photo mode.
Hmm. Because you have to have a photo mode.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
for a game that looks real good like that one.
Hmm.
They also added a new dash function, I guess, to run around.
Yeah.
Improved character and camera movements, so a bunch of other smaller stuff as well.
Mm. So, yeah, Dragon Quest XI.
PS4 and Steam.
Yep.
Interesting debut on Steam.
Yeah. Now, Square Enix has been putting pretty much all of their games up on PC nowadays, so that shouldn't be too surprising at this point.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I think it may be the first PC version of Dragon Quest that is around.
Just Heroes games, yeah. Builders.
But mainline series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, they didn't fuck this up like Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, well, it's not a mobile port, so.
Yeah. Not yet.
Yeah. And finally, we have Hello Games teasing an update to No Man's Sky, and along with it announcing that it's coming to the Xbox One. So, what's going on here?
So they tease their next update, which is called Next. And they describe it as, they've been working our socks off on it, and it's by far the biggest update for the game so far, which is definitely saying something, because their last few have been really huge. Still going to be more great support for that game coming. It'll be coming out on Xbox One, this summer. Physical version will be coming distributed by 505, and
so more No Man's Sky.
Yep.
I'm wondering if people are going to be going back and looking at that game again, because what it is now is definitely not what it was when it launched.
Nope. Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff in there now, and a good bit of variety, too, for just the different types of elements of materials you can collect. They've added a lot of new mm-hmm. stuff there, as well as just some of the options you could do as far as base building and all that.
Yeah. Does it still have the just ridiculous planet combinations that you can end up on?
Yeah, definitely. I've been on somewhere like, oh, there's toxic air, or it's really hot. Some that just have no life on them or no vegetation, which when you're trying to get some fast money just by scanning new life, those are always bad planets.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, there's nothing here. Yeah. Nothing lives on this planet.
So, all right, so cool. Look forward to that. So from No Man's Sky to a game that is being compared to No Man's Sky, Sea of Thieves. The first person to reach the pirate legend status, streamer by the name of Prodigy X. That's Prodigy with a one. Apparently people aren't too thrilled about him. They've been kind of complaining that he got that status by basically relying on his Twitch fan base, who kind of boosted him to it.
Yeah.
That presents questions.
I'm of the opinion that, you know, if that's what he wanted to do and his fan base was willing to actually help him do it, so what?
Yeah.
You know, the other complaint is the once you get that status, the reward is not all that great.
Not really.
Yeah, it basically unlocks a shanty, some more items, a fourth faction. And to become Pyro Legend, you have to reach level 50 on all three factions. So, that should take a while, and it did, because, took several long hours for that guy to get it. And in the end, it doesn't seem like it's all that worth it.
The biggest issue I've been having people say about this game is that it's just really superficial. Like, it's got a great concept, but there just isn't a lot underneath the surface, like, at all.
Yeah, like a lot of the quests, depending on which of the factions you choose, tend to be pretty similar. One of them tends to be gathering stuff, like chickens or pigs or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is weird. Another one just as you go find these hidden chests. And the third one, I believe you bring them skulls.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just fetch quests and crap like that. And again, that's where the comparison to No Man's Sky tends to come in, because at launch, that's basically what you were doing. But as we've just pointed out, that game has evolved immensely since in the couple of years that it's been out.
Yeah. Though those guys are obviously a much smaller team with less resources than Rare.
Yeah.
A Microsoft team, and, you know, this is what they were able to put out in the, I don't know how many years that they've been working on this game.
I think it's 3 years we've known about it.
Yeah. So, you know, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, because, you know, they're actually being transparent about what they're doing, which is something that, you know, a lot of developers aren't. But at the same time, they've just put out a game that's just kind of meh, and it's one of those, while I hope that it improves, I'm not going to be spending $60 right now.
Yeah, definitely not worth keeping an active Game Pass subscription just for that game.
Yeah.
No.
So, that's Sea of Thieves, and of course the Prodigy X Pirate Legend controversy, as some people have called it.
I mean, if that was the only requirement, is to get the max level for all three factions, there's many ways you could do that. Like, this guy just did one of them.
Yeah, I mean,
well, it's like, a
there was a lot of you have to solve a lot of puzzles and stuff to get through all of that. So, and one of the contentions is that, you know, he'd be like staring at a wall for 45 minutes until somebody told him what the answer was.
So, I mean, yeah, that's co-op.
That's, yeah,
you can have that useless friend who just like, duh, I'm just gonna get drunk and throw up everywhere. Yeah. He gets the same amount of credit as everybody else.
Yeah,
turn it in.
So, yeah, chill out, people. It's just a game, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, that should be more of a sign of what Rare needs to do with the game.
Yeah,
and just get mad at this guy for just doing what the game asked.
Yeah, no, Rare's not getting mad at them. It's just,
I mean, people should get mad with Rare.
Yeah,
like there should be more to it.
Yeah. Next up, PlayStation VR has a price drop to $299.
Yep.
This is for the whole bundle or just the headset?
It's for the headsets, but they also are adjusting prices for the bundles as well. Doom VFR bundle is also going to be $300.
Okay.
Which comes with the camera, the second demo disc, and the game. The Elder Scrolls Skyrim bundle is $349, and that includes the headset, camera, Move controllers, and demo disc and Skyrim. So that seems like the best one to get for just
that's a good value.
Yeah, for $300 and get the whole thing. So,
yep.
Yeah, I think that will bring a lot more people into it. $300 seems like it's a price that's a little bit more easy to digest for a lot of people. When it's like $400 or $500, that's a big ask.
When they've had the big promotion, sale promotions for this stuff, those have been the prices they've had.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing they've seen like a big uptick in purchases.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's probably about time to drop it. This seems like a good price.
Yeah. Now, if they'll only do a VR port of PlayStation Home. And I'm not being facetious when I say that.
No, I can see that being really good.
Yeah, that PlayStation Home was a really great concept that was just ahead of its time. I think it would be a better environment for it.
I want to say there is going to be something like that. Atom Universe. Game made by one of the people that were working on content for PlayStation Home. Made their own kind of PlayStation Home thing.
Yeah.
It's still being worked on. It's kind of early access, but you can play for free now. And they've said VR support is going to be coming to that. So.
Okay, so I'm going to have to go check that out now.
Yeah. it's definitely bare bones right now.
Yeah.
I did a video on it a while back. And they've definitely updated it since then. But, yeah, it was still a lot of like, there's like a dance party area where there's like arcade games, like little betting areas for virtual horse racing and all that. And like, there's stuff there.
Yeah.
There's not many people because it's not really a full thing yet.
Yeah.
Or is being promoted enough to really get mass penetration.
Yeah.
But hey, it's there.
Yeah. All right. So, moving on. There's another scandal in the gaming world. Kevin Pereira, you remember him?
Yep.
Yeah.
From G4. Well, he used to host Attack of the Show with Kevin Rose, and then eventually left G4 because it closed down.
Yeah.
After that, they started up a show called The Attack. And that was back in 2014. And recently, they've discovered that he's been viewbotting to get his views up, hopefully hoping that he can get more exposure for the show. And as shitty as this sounds, I actually kind of feel for the guy because I had no idea this show was around. Because if I did, I would have watched it.
Yeah.
And I definitely get his motive for it. In terms of, like, instead of having to shut this down and fire a bunch of people, I turned to, like, the last-ditch effort thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, obviously.
And clearly the botting didn't work.
No.
Yeah. No.
Once people copped to it, he was like, okay, well, yeah. And then it's very clear, like, in this entire story that his basic message is, I fucked up. Yeah. So he's very much admitting to that. He's not making excuses for it. It's like, yeah, I completely fucked up. That's what I tried something I shouldn't have. It wasn't the right thing to do. And now I'm just going to help those people that I disappointed down and help them land on their feet. Yeah. You know, and say what you will about Kevin Pereira, but he's not a terrible person here. Mike, you made a mistake, and well, now he has to live with it. So.
Doing everything that he can to do right by his crew.
Yeah. Now, yeah, it's a shame that I didn't know about the attack, because if I had, like I said, I would have watched it. Yeah. Because, yeah.
It's also a shame that admitting to doing something bad and trying to make good for it is such a rare thing with people on, like, YouTube and Twitch that fuck up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also kind of a little condemnation on Twitch that it takes so much for new streamers to be discovered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you're starting to build a fan base of a few hundred, you ought to be on that front page to get those views. You know, some people will end up excelling and build a nice big audience because of that. If it's clear that you're on the uptick, you should be, you should be
featured.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which sort of flies in this thing I saw about YouTube. So the whole thing with notifications when you subscribe to a channel, that if you don't check it constantly, you don't necessarily get priority notification of new content by that channel.
Yes.
But, mm-hmm. So people that don't necessarily put out content every day, less of their people get notified.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which is like, okay, that's kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
That's intentionally hurting channels that either have infrequent updates or have them spaced out enough to try to do better updates.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, YouTube it's pretty clear what they're after. They want the big players. They want the mass media. They want everything to be as consumer-friendly and forward-facing as possible. Mm-hmm. They want to offend the least amount of people.
And they want those to be happening as often as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you take time to do your work, you have a harder time getting the word out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, YouTube has all kinds of problems. There's an opening there for somebody if they can figure out how to capitalize on it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Moving on from that, Lindsay Lohan. Remember her? She was relevant once. Anyway, she had sued Take-Two over a likeness of a character in GTA 5.
Yeah, that was supposed to look a lot like her, even though
it wasn't really
at all. Like,
yeah, it looks like the actual model they modeled it after. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, apparently the New York State Court kind of agreed with that and said that, that doesn't really constitute a likeness of you. What that also sets up, though, is that video game avatars can be used as likenesses.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, it's just it wasn't a likeness of her.
Oh. In fact, I think it's actually supposed to be the daughter. Like, isn't that who that particular character is supposed to be?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, Lacey Jones in mm-hmm. GTA 5. I don't remember who that was because I haven't played the game. So.
Yeah.
It's interesting from a legal perspective because without actually really maybe intending to, they set some precedent, which means some... remember that whole David Cage suit from what was her name?
Ellen Page.
Ellen Page.
Yeah, yeah. Ellen Page. Yeah.
It's with this ruling, that could have actually had merit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, interesting things happening in the gaming world sometimes, whether we want it to.
Speaking of David Cage and Quantic Dream, has everyone been keeping up with all the crap that's coming out of there?
I've tried to tune some of it out because it's been pretty caustic.
Yeah, because it kind of just makes David Cage out to be a really terrible person.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure what's going to happen there. I mean, they're doing damage control as best they can with coming up to the release of Detroit.
Detroit Become Human.
Yeah.
Which is already having its issues, so.
Yeah. Well, David Cage is maybe a terrible person. Who knows? He certainly can't write, that's for sure. Yeah. We'll just leave it at that. So finally, we have terms of service news. From Microsoft, they recently updated their terms of service and code of conduct to include offensive language. This was a clarification. They had said profanity and related terms in the past. Now they're broadening that to offensive language, and that could incur, you know, banning, the loss of your account, that kind of fun stuff. All Microsoft services, including Xbox Live.
Now, does this include racial slurs?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Wow, they're like 10 years too late, but...
Yeah, but somebody's doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and
I hope they hired a lot of moderators to enforce that.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be broadly enforceable. It's going to be, they're going to basically, I think this is for them to, you know, to cover themselves so that they can act on the really egregious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The casual stuff will probably still be able to get through the cracks.
Yeah.
There's a lot of FUD going around from people that want to stir up shit, essentially suggesting, oh, they're going to be able to listen in on your conversations and ban you for saying bad words. Like, no, they're not going to go that far.
No.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to look at, you know, the group you started that doesn't say Nazi but is clearly a Nazi group.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, hey, we're going to have to get rid of that and probably ban you for a little while.
Yeah.
For doing Nazi shit on Xbox Live, which has been a long time needed.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. At least, somebody, like I said, somebody is taking that initiative to, you know, help clean up this online gaming space and maybe make it something that I might actually want to go back to play, too. Yeah, so.
Mm-hmm.
Hats off to them, because... yeah, it's much, much needed. Now, if Sony and Nintendo will get their asses in gear. Yeah, especially Sony. They've got, like, I think some very openly racist communities.
They've got problems.
There. Yeah. Uh-huh. Along with all of the cam girls and the phishing scams and crap they got going on there. Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah.
So, with that bit of unpleasantness out of the way, let's get to World Warriors before we close off the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, Pat, you were a little bit naughty today.
Yeah. Ordinarily, I don't take part in the April Fool's Day festivities, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But given the timing of the site launch coming up and announcing all of the games that we'll be supporting, I just couldn't resist a fake announcement that the final three games on the World Warriors lineup would be Smash Melee, Smash 4, and Mortal Kombat 2.
Now,
so that was a thing that happened.
FGC would be like, what?
Yeah, because everything I've said about World Warriors leading up to this point, and everything that people know about me just as a person would tell them that those games are not going to be supported.
Yeah.
But tomorrow the post will go up with the actual final three games being added. But for the – I'll drop them here first.
For the podcast listeners.
Yes. So what happened was basically I said that there was one game that was exactly what you think it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
One game that is a very good standard bearer for the same franchise in probably its most complete and pure form. And the third game is probably the most representative title from a franchise that really deserves more exposure over here.
Yeah. And, yeah, for those who aren't able to guess, that's Tekken 7, Tekken 5 Dark Resurrection, and Virtua Fighter 5 Final Showdown, in that order.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Dark Resurrection is the one I'm kind of iffy about, but I'm really hoping that we can really give that game a platform to, you know, see something of a resurgence. There was a Dark Resurrection side event at Strong Style a few weeks ago, and it had a really good showing there. The game's still hype. It's very easily acquired on the PS3 as a downloadable title, and it still deserves to be played. I think every Tekken that has come since then has had its own unique quirks to it,
mm-hmm.
that kind of set it apart. But Tekken 5 Dark Resurrection is really just kind of the last bastion of pure down and dirty Tekken.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was what inspired that selection. Tekken 7, I'm putting that one in there in the same spirit that Street Fighter V is there. It is the game that currently champions one of the most important legacies in the fighting genre.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I would be remiss not to support Tekken 7 as part of the World Warriors lineup. And then Virtua Fighter 5 Final Showdown is... I had to think about this one because I don't know if it's still going to be played when Virtua Fighter 6 drops, if it drops. But you're looking at a game now that's got almost a decade behind it.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at a game now that continually sees new events, especially in Japan. There's actually a Beat Tribe Cup going on this weekend that is probably going to be the first event that we end up throwing into the World Warriors database for Virtua Fighter 5. It's still seeing the support. It is one of the longest-running top-tier franchises in the fighting genre. And I just feel like the World Warriors platform would be incomplete without including it. And so those are the 10th, 11th, and 12th games to be officially supported by the site. And I feel really good about this lineup. I think if we're looking at something that truly represents the history of the fighting genre and ties it to the present, I think the 12 games that go into this lineup really accomplish what we're setting out to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so... with that being said, we've got some site features. We've talked about this on the show a little bit, but with everything sort of coming together now, it's just nice to have that rundown. Obviously, the centerpiece is the video library, searchable by matchup, by player, by character, pretty much any parameters that you need to see. In order to find a match you're looking for. And we're not just going into YouTube videos and grabbing whatever timestamps are available there. I've been going through and adding new timestamps by hand. If they weren't there before, I would timestamp each set. I would timestamp any time any parameter within a set changes.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody loses a game and then switches their character out for another one, that's a new timestamp because I want to get every instance of every matchup that appears in those videos searchable. It's been a lot of work, but I'm really proud of it. And I think there's already just a great wealth of content there to be studied. And so, I mean, that was the core feature that we've been building the site around.
Yeah.
To expand on that, we also have video tutorials, which are basically very similar to the video library, except they reference videos that are instructional in nature rather than tournament matches.
Yeah.
And we've got a decent selection of those available right now. If you go to worldwarriors.net, it's not as comprehensive right now as I wish it was, but we're getting there.
Yeah.
And it's something that, as time passes, I think will become one of the signature features of the site right there alongside the match database. And then the other aspect of this, because one thing that I noticed while going through and looking up match videos, looking up tutorial videos, is that you find things that don't really fit into any of those categories. Maybe it's because you have matches where players weren't positively identified on the stream, or because they were just, back in the day you had people just shooting off screen footage with a camcorder.
Yeah, and you're not going to have to who it was.
You're not going to have great data from that. So what we've been doing is what we've set up is a third section called the historical record. That if there's a video that should be featured at World Warriors, but maybe we weren't able to get that data from it, maybe it just didn't quite fit in with any of the categories that we feature, or maybe it's from a game we don't officially support yet, but the video itself is important enough that it needs to be, it needs to be present there. They're going to go into the historical record.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not as searchable of a database. I mean, you're probably going to want to just sift through each page item by item. But whenever there was a known parameter, especially in terms of events, they have been sorted to that degree. So that should make the sifting around a little bit easier. But I think that section of the site is going to be the host of some very interesting content over time. And so once we get that one up and running, I think that'll be a launch day feature. That's going to be something worth looking at, I believe. And then, of course, there's the forums. They're open right now. We're really trying to foster a very old school, early SRK-like community there. And so, if that's your thing, if you want the old Shoryuken back, that's what we're trying to provide with the forums. And yeah. So that's, again, up and running right now. Welcome to join.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Head over there, worldwarriors.net. Yep. And official launch is on Thursday.
Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is a Patreon has started for the site. This was a very calculated step because over time this site is not going to be self-sustaining out of our own pockets. It's just it's already gotten rather large and very ambitious in nature. So one thing I wanted to avoid doing was implementing really obtrusive ads that would ultimately just serve to make the core functions of the site less functional.
Right.
That was not a step I was willing to take. Another thing that I was unwilling to do was let it become a business and let things like what games get more views on stream or what games get more tournament entries actually decide the editorial direction of the site. Because the moment that that happened, it would fail in its mission.
Yeah.
So there can never be, it can never become a business. It can never be open to a situation where money can be exchanged for influence. And so after thinking about it, the conclusion was that Patreon was the only step that made sense, and let's turn this into a partnership between ourselves and our users. And so we've got that launched. It's up and ready to go right now. And more goals and probably more rewards will be available over time. But I think the three tiers that are up there right now do a pretty good job of, you know, letting people support the site however they feel most comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I think the highest tier, that the $20 tier, gives you a... Yeah, it really drives home the idea of it being a partnership.
Yeah.
That's the collaborator tier. It will give you access to a special forum that the staff will be using to discuss ideas regarding the future direction of the site, whether it's games that are going to be added or features that we might be able to implement over time. Obviously, in the spirit of not being able to or not setting up a situation where money is exchanged for influence, that's no guarantee that answers will be in the affirmative, but it will put you in the discussion.
Yeah.
And so I think that's entirely fair.
Yep.
So everything is pretty much in order. I am really excited for Thursday. And just, you know, a lot of work has gone into the site. Enjoy it. Have fun with it. And, you know, if you desire to improve as a fighting gamer, I hope this is a valuable resource that will assist you to that end.
So, yeah. And I think that's going to do it for today.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, look forward to Thursday. Definitely looking
forward to hearing. I'm guessing at some point that on World Warriors, at some point, they're probably, you guys are going to have, like, Fantasy Strike on there, too?
No, I don't know about that.
Yeah. Don't know, but we'll see how it's received.
Yeah. Right. It already has hyper fighting. Yeah. And so,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to hearing feedback on the site and see how people. So far, the people that we've showed it to have been kind of hype about what we've been doing. So,
yeah, because nobody has really done what we're doing.
Yeah,
and it's understandable why, because it has been a ton of work, but I really think the payoff is going to be worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And with that, we will call a close to this week's show. As always, I'd like to remind you guys that you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Google Play, or your favorite podcast aggregator. You can check us out at smashpad.com, where we do our written content, and there should be some more of that showing up this week as well. So I am Filippo Dinolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Chris Logie.
And we'll see you next week on the Day Zero Update.